New England Bible class that you get the Baptist history. So that in itself is worth the price of the admission. All right, so just in review, we had studied the Judsons the last 2 weeks we were together in Sunday school. And although there was some missionary activity in the colonies, basically efforts to reach the Indians and the settlers as they migrated westward, it really wasn't until the early 1800s that Baptists seriously considered going overseas with the gospel. And I think that was because of the testimony of William Carey and what he was doing in India, as word of what he was accomplishing for the Lord was coming back to the Western Hemisphere. And this idea of Baptists becoming interested in world missions really became started in a very unusual manner, and as a result of a revival in the hearts of some college students who actually were Congregationalists, not Baptists. And at the Congregationalist College, Williams College, a fellowship of students became vitally interested in world evangelism. They met every day for prayer. They became known as the Brethren. It was just a mission prayer group, and they were known as the Brethren on campus there. They often met in the open air, and on one hot day, a thunderstorm swept through, and this is a very famous moment now, but they dove for cover under the sheaves of some haystacks that were in the field next to them. And it was really there that day that marks the birth of the foreign mission movement in America, as these students decided to put their prayers and talk into action. And Luther Rice, our focus today, number 31 in our 50 Baptists you should know, he was born in 1783. He was saved at a young age. He became a student at Williams College and then attended Andover Seminary. While in college, he was a member of the Brethren. I don't think he was there that day. They called it the Haystack Prayer Meeting. He wasn't there that day, but he was a member of that prayer group. And the Lord was calling him to serve him overseas. He met a young lady in college, and they began to plan for their future marriage. But when he announced his plans to serve the Lord overseas, she wanted nothing to do with that, and the engagement was called off. And contrast that with what happened to the Judsons about the exact same time, and how that he approached Anne Hazeltine, literally knowing her for a couple of months, and approached her father, and she said yes. And the unbelievable support and ministry that she had in Burma, and just think about what could have been, maybe, you know, if that would have been the Lord's will, if that young lady was going against the Lord's will, but. And at that time, he decided that he would follow the Lord wherever it would lead. And he said, "I have deliberately made up my mind to preach the gospel to the heathen, and I do not know, but it may be in Asia." In 1812, he was ordained, and along with Adoniram Judson and other students, they petitioned the American Congregationalist Board for Foreign Missions for service in India. And so he and two other couples, within a year, set sail a few days after the Judsons did, and set sail for India. And their idea was to serve the Lord alongside William Carey in India. You know, this is an interesting note. One historian said, being a Congregationalist and a student in their schools of higher learning, little did Rice know that he would be at the very heart of the Baptist missionary movement for years and years to come. And as Rice sailed for India, of course, we've heard this story before. We've heard something very similar happen before. But as he sailed for India on a different ship than Judson's, he was several days behind them, he also was studying his Bible, because they knew that they were going to have to defend infant baptism to William Carey, who was a Baptist and didn't believe in infant baptism. So they were studying their Bible. They had 4 months. That was a long journey on the ship. And he evidently did not know that Judson's were doing the same study. And Rice was more stubborn than Adoniram, and it took him a few more months, but he did realize that the Bible says nothing about infant baptism. And on that ship, the Lord really worked and used his reading and studying the Word to convince him of believer's baptism. And he became a Baptist. He was baptized in Calcutta 4 months after they arrived. And this decision changed the course of their lives because they felt compelled, of course, to sever their relationship with the Congregationalist church, to be honest. And, you know, they weren't Congregationalists anymore. And they wanted to identify with the Baptists in America. And so they met. The Judsons and Rice met to determine their course of action. And, reading from an historian, he said, the threesome reasoned that the Board of Commissioners needed to hear firsthand about their change to Baptist sentiments. Also important, the Baptist churches in America should be fully apprised of the distant missions, and their support could be more directly enlisted. And it was decided that Rice would return to America. This was not something he really felt he wanted to do. God had called him, he thought, to India. Of course, they wouldn't end up in India. Judsons would end up in Burma as India, God closed that door. But the two men exchanged letters in the future, but they would never again meet on earth. And as Rice bid farewell to his beloved friend and associates on March 15, 1813, he said he reviewed his commitment to foreign missions. I renewedly gave myself to the Lord, renewedly devoted myself to the cause of missions, and begged God to accept me as his, and particularly as devoted to the missionary service. And so Rice returned to America to stir up the Baptists for world evangelism, and that he did. It's impossible to take the time to tell his entire story, but neither Rice nor Judson expected this trip to last more than a year or two. However, as I mentioned, Rice never returned to India. He became so involved in the raising of interest and the raising support for missions and Christian education that he never had the chance to return. He was used extensively by the Lord here in America as he stirred the Baptists. And an interesting side note as you read about this is that this caused friction between these two great men. And it's something that history doesn't talk too much about. But Judson never agreed with him not coming back. And Judson really held that against him and was, you know, had a real problem with him not coming back. And that really bothered Rice, who felt that God was using him and calling him to be in America and not come back. It just didn't work out. And, you know, it wasn't as easy as jumping on a plane. It's a major thing to go across the world like that. And so this disagreement interrupted that unbelievable friendship they had, the warm fellowship they had, and I'll talk a little more about that in just a minute, but God prospered his work, Rice, and his life of sacrifice can hardly be exaggerated. What seemed like an inexhaustible energy, he devoted his life to raising support for Baptist missions and missionaries. He swam rivers, he walked through blizzards, he endured great heat, he endured wild Indians and bandits, and rode thousands of miles on horseback and slept outside many, many nights in the open air. He had no home, he had no bank account, he had no wardrobe except what he would carry. We can't measure, however, the impact that this man's life had on missions and the hundreds of thousands of people that would hear the gospel because of what he did in America. He traveled to these churches. They say that he spellbound audiences as he preached to them about missions. He said at that time it was the rare person who had gone into the darkness of paganism and returned to tell about it, and that was just very unusual. And missionary societies were formed, churches were planted, many, many publications were begun, and missionaries by the thousands would eventually end up in the field because of the testimony of Luther Rice and what the Judsons were doing. And I refer back to this again because I think it's kind of a sad piece of history, this disagreement, but Judsons were elevated in the hearts of the people in America. They heard the stories and what was going on, and as difficult as that was for the Judsons, of course, and this is taking nothing away from the Judsons. It's just the men didn't understand what God was doing, and Rice was actually vilified by many. And some churches didn't accept him because they knew of this friction between him and Judson. And isn't that a sad thing, how the devil uses anything, right? Two of the greatest men probably that ever lived, and devil finds something he can drive between them. But he labored for the Lord anyway, and it hurt him greatly. He never understood this. He never understood what was going on there. And by that, I mean he was hurt by that and didn't understand why the Lord was doing this or allowing this. But he labored for the Lord anyway. And when he died, he bequeathed his entire estate, which was an old horse and a rickety old sulky to Columbian College. And Columbian College, he actually started two colleges. Columbian College, he began for the training, founded for the training of Baptist preachers. And now today, that is George Washington University. But history has given us a renewed appreciation, I think, and gratefulness for this great man of God who gave everything, literally everything. He lived and died alone to serve the Lord. And he devoted his life to world evangelism and education among the Baptists. And one historian said this, and I close with this piece, that God was preparing in a wonderful way an opening for Baptist missions in foreign lands. The conversion of Adoniram Judson and Luther Rice to Baptist doctrines and practices was one of the most phenomenal events in the history of missions. This foreign mission enterprise in the United States did not originate with the Baptists, but with the Congregationalists. And how this work began in a prayer meeting of young men, how a missionary society was organized to send them out, how the money was secured for their equipment, how they were ordained, how they were called to India, and how Judson and Rice became Baptists is one of the most thrilling stories ever told. And I want to thank the Lord for this man, Luther Rice, this morning, and how God